What up?
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now, we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew.
Try this beef stew. Try this beef stew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all know how we do it in the building. We do it real big and real greasy. Check this out. We in the building. It's your man Big Stu in the building. I'm here with my gracious host, Drinks on Russ. He's in the building.
What's the deal? What's up, Big Stu? How you doing, B?
You know how it is. I'm good, man. I'm feeling real good. We got a great interview today, Russ.
Yeah, we do. Do you hear me loud and clear, Stu?
I hear you loud
and clear. You don't hear no echo or nothing?
I don't hear no echo now. I heard a little echo, but it's gone now.
Cool, because we got a great show for today, B. A great show. Tell the people who's coming through.
Well, first of all, today's show is called The History of Harlem Hip Hop Part 2. For those of y'all that caught Part 1, we talk about Clinton Center and the history of all Clinton Center, all the brothers who came through there. We got in the building today, Russ, one of the groups that did it real, real, real big. The trendsetters of hip hop, the unsung heroes, Russ.
Word.
Francois, Ray Vaughn from the Magnificent Seven. They will be in the building a little later, Russ. This is what's going on. But right now, there's a documentary being done by them brothers, you know what I'm saying? And by four of them brothers, there's a documentary being done. And we got the director, the producer, my man right here, we about ready to introduce Russ. You've seen Dogs in the Wire. You've seen Dogs in The Sopranos. You've seen Dogs in Oz. You've seen them in Mad Joints. And he's from Harlem, Russ.
Represent. Okay.
My man Travis Jacobs in the building. Travis, what's good, fam?
Travis Jacobs, what's
good,
up, yo?
Good,
what's
I'm
up?
Feeling good.
Yeah, man.
I'm good.
We appreciate you being here, Travis, man, because, you know, what you're doing right now is real important. We always be trying to keep people focused on the hip-hop in Harlem because it's kind of unknown to a lot of people. But what you're doing is real big with the documentaries and going around doing these interviews. That's the first thing I want to say. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, big up on that.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the reemergence of the real hip-hop. You know what I mean? And thank God hip-hop is a global phenomenon because we forget. Even though we from Harlem, we like Harlem to support it. But, you know, somebody in England, somebody in Thailand, mm-hmm. somebody in Japan
no doubt.
Appreciate it better than we do, unfortunately and fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I'm about that. And I'm glad that they story gonna get out. And it's for the history, you know what I mean? I'm doing this from my heart. And, you know, I'm paying out of my pocket. And I'm doing it because, you know, 200 years from now, when you and me ain't on the radio, you, me, and everybody else that's listening, this is mm-hmm. stuff that needs to be told. And
no
these
doubt.
Cats laid it down on a level before Sugar Hill Gang,
mm-hmm.
in the realm of Cold Crush,
mm-hmm.
Fearless Four, Treacherous Three, they in that category, and
yep.
they deserve all the props that
okay.
those people get.
No doubt.
Before I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's okay.
Like you, son. I'm feeling emotional. But before we get into, you know, the M7 history, we want to get into your history a little bit, my dude. You all right? If you don't mind that. You know?
No, I don't mind. Whatever you want. Got it.
So what age did you start it to that you wanted to be an actor? Like, what age was you?
I was about 12 or 13. Well, my mother told me I was 7 years old when I told her, I'm never going to work a regular job, and I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to live in luxury and glory to God. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've lived that life. I got a luxury apartment on 57th Street and 10th Avenue,
mm-hmm.
and I've been doing the business. The first movie I ever worked on was Crush Groove with Run DMC, and I got paid $25 cash.
Wow.
That
was back then.
Let's just sit on that. Okay?
Mm.
Crush Groove. Okay?
That's great.
Don't ask your age.
Yeah. I ain't got to ask your age, though.
I worked on a Poor Righteous Teachers video.
Wow.
Another $25 cash, the joint called Shaquilla, the video.
Shaquilla,
I'm in the beginning.
Yeah. I played that.
I'm one of the dudes that when you was talking in the video back then was like, wow, he in a video. Like, now it's nothing.
Yeah, but back then it was big.
Come on, I'll pay dues, okay?
And
that was $25 cash. You know who produced that? Ralph McDaniel.
Oh, yeah, that's
okay.
Right. Wow. Video music by Ralph McDaniels.
Yeah,
but another
that's
thing
right.
That I,
big up to
that
Ralph.
I,
big up to Ralph McDaniels.
That I want to holler at you about is you wrote a book at a young age, too, about you not working and all that, right? You did? You know
yeah,
about
yeah, I wrote a book called How to Survive in Show Business Without Waiting Tables. It's pretty much self-explanatory, meaning, you know, a lot of people ask me questions like, how you do the business and you don't have a regular job, you know, how did you do this? And I would answer them and I would help them and I would, you know, get back to them. And then I said, you know, maybe I should write out everything that I know and put it in the form of a book. And that's what I did. And it's called How to Survive in Show Business Without Waiting Tables, because I survived in show business without waiting tables, meaning without a 9-to-5, without a conventional job. And I'm from 110th Street. I grew up in the Bronx. And that's what I did, and that's what I'm still doing. And now taking it to another level with directing and producing, you know, this is my baby. And as far as the documentary is concerned, I grew up around Ray Vaughn and Johnny Waugh. I grew up in Schaumburg Plaza on 110th Street. And I thought of the idea, I didn't think like what it is. I'm going to be real with you. I didn't think this will be incredible. I thought like, you know what, this is the neighborhood. Let me do the neighborhood thing and move on from the neighborhood thing. But I learned
and
doing it. Like, wow, this could be, yes.
Yeah.
Ray Vaughn, Johnny Waugh was before AZ and Alpo doing AZ and Alpo.
Let me tell you something. Me and Alpo used to. I'm gonna tell you, but I'm glad you mentioned that. Yo, Russ, do you remember when we interviewed Alpo on our show?
Yeah.
We had the TV show. The first thing he asked me when I asked him what was his favorite groups, Alpo said, "Yo, Johnny Juan, Ray Vaughn still do they thing?" I got that on tape.
That's right. That's right. We got that on tape, and
that's
he said
crazy.
That live on our television.
On our
show.
Television show, back when we had the GOF, and me and my man Fat Cat interviewed him and K Slay on the show, and that's exactly something he said, that he didn't remember the Jay Z. He didn't know about all the new groups. The first thing he went back into was Johnny Juan, Ray Vaughn. So that's deep right there in itself.
Yeah, man. So, you know, the history gets deeper, even beyond what I'm trying to say. But I was a shorty like you. You know, like we spoke before, and yes. I was one of those little kids in the crowd, in the audience,
exactly.
You know, who witnessed they magic, who
yep.
witnessed they mystique. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something, man, I'm not sweating them. I'm giving them their props.
Giving them
and sometimes we give people their props when they dead and gone. Ray Vaughn and Johnny Waugh, they walking around right now like
mm-hmm.
them cats.
That's
just walking
right.
around right now, and I grew up with them. And to come from, you know, all the movie stuff I did and watching them as a kid, it was only natural for me to go, how about I do their documentary? But I'm not going to lie, in doing their documentary, I didn't realize, like, wow, this could be, I started to create, like, a movement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got going on.
And I hear that in that song, man, that song, Harlem Pride. It's fat because it's fat. First of all, the music, the track is crazy fat.
Thank
but
you.
The track, you know, it's a
I didn't know if you had the time, my brother, but
yeah, I
sure we're not playing because, you know, when you mention an old school group, like, let's be honest. I don't know what you thought. You might be different. But most people, when they hear, like, nah, yeah, that's the shit hill game. That's Ray Vaughn, Johnny Waugh. That's probably some...
But
some bullshit.
Old school dudes, when they come back, they joints don't be hot like that. I'm going to just be honest.
We're not playing, man.
This joint right here is like, you know, I was expecting to hear a little more old school because after I spoke to Ray, but I hear a little, I don't care what they say. They still sound a little up to date in it. You know, they don't sound like no ringtone rap. They just sound like some chats that got some hardcore roots and that's just coming hard with it, man, when I listen to it.
Yeah.
I felt it,
yeah.
For sure.
Glad I heard it.
Well,
let's
we
play
it
tonight.
We for sure. You know, I want to play some more joints. I want to play because another thing that a lot of cats don't know, every group back in the days kind of made some record famous, like some breakbeat records famous, like, you know, you had the Cold Crush with Rocket in the Pocket, with JDL and them with their little routine. But Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wah are the dudes who made 2 Be Real famous in this game, a hip-hop classic, because they were the first cats singing on their joints to me. That's the first dudes I've seen.
And Stu, also, they was one of the first groups that was signed to Sugar Hill. You understand what I'm saying? They talent and everything come from Sugar Hill and everything like that. And they was one of the first, man. You got to give them their props,
and
too,
not
man.
To mention that, I'm going to tell you another trend that them brothers set. You see how all these cats running with posses and groups running behind them, made bad music and this. They not even had Cigar Marv running be with them, and they was representing Cigar Marv real big. They also had Casanovas and a whole bunch of cats like that running with them. They the originators of a lot of stuff you see in hip-hop right now. You know what I'm saying? Back then, the Shaq Dust crew was the original crew riding the bikes and the motorcycle. That leads down to what you see, the Rough Riders and all these cats that's doing it right now. So they was part of everything you see in hip-hop right now. Am I wrong or right?
You're right.
About that,
I remember back in the days when Dougie Fresh and all of them was DJing right there in my project.
Yeah, speaking
and
of Dougie Fresh,
was holding them
down. We got the interview, you know, on the documentary. We got Dougie Fresh going in. You know what I mean? And he really went in, you know. It really kind of, everything we talking about, what I like about the documentary, and it ain't even finished. Because there's brothers like KRS-One, as much as I love KRS-One, and he deserves all the props he get. This is not how it's done. I would never disrespect KRS-One. He is the god of rap, syllable of hip-hop.
But,
you know, I'm going to use a KRS-One lyric, not against him, but against him. He got a lyric where he go, you respect Tupac, but Tupac respected me. Let's sit on that for a second. So I'm saying, whoever you respect, like how we respect KRS-One, he respect Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wah.
Exactly.
That's right.
Well, let me tell you, a lot
gotta
of...
And he KRS-One.
Let me tell you...
We got to take that and go, why would he respect Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wah? They never did a record. They legend is crazy.
Yo, and check this out. Let me tell you, so one day I seen a few, I think it was KRS-One, a few of them, you know, they was all at the Wall of Fame on 106th Street. And Cass was like, yo, we used to rock here. I wanted to go grab the mic and be like, the only cats that rock there, other than later on in the years, maybe later on in the late 80s, was the cats from Carver Houses, you know what I mean? But the original crash that used to rock there before it was the Wall of Fame was the Magnificent Seven in Junior High School 13 when it was Jackie Robinson. They were the original cats. My man Spivey and them was the original cats that set their equipment up there, you know what I'm saying? And they were the first cats that ever set their DJ equipment up in Central Park, and they had people coming from masses. And other rappers would know where M7 was rocking. They would definitely try to come through there. That's where everything where M7 was at. That's where a young kid like me saw the Whipper Whips, the Dot of Rocks, the Kumo D's, because they came over there to rock with those cats back in the day.
Yeah, no
back
doubt.
Back in Mount Morris when they used to have the celebrity basketball games and all that. And another thing that cats don't know, man, another thing that I want to touch base definitely with Ray Vaughn and them is that this breakdancing thing with cats be giving Rocksteady a lot of credit. Don't get me wrong, I love Rocksteady, but I'm a true B-boy. And I come back from seeing Floor Master Tots, Executioners, Crusaders, you know what I'm saying? And Ray Vaughn and them, they was Floor Masters and all that. My man E-Man, you know what I mean? Spivey, they was like one of, and you know, I think it was, who was that else with them, man? Licensed kid, I can't remember, but he used to be doing a little...
White Cloud?
White Cloud is my cousin from Foster. That's my little cousin. He came later. That's family right there. That's family. That's my real cousin.
White Cloud.
But before White Cloud, Ski Jump. That's what I'm going to get back into. Ski Jump and all them cats used to be up there on the plaza going hard. And I remember my man, they used to throw this record on Spivey for E-Man. And the son used to be doing these poses, yo. And that was real hip-hop, real b-boying. And what Rocksteady and them did, they came and made a commercial. The real b-boying, when you come back and you talking about when Cass was in the gangs and that stuff you see on TV, or they was getting ready to fight before that, that come from Floor Master Tosh, Floor Master. That come from the era of Johnny Wah and Ray Vaughn. Things like that used to happen on the plaza in Schaumburg, for real. And that's real talk. I just want to put that out there, you know? But getting back to you, my man, what are some of your notable projects? What would you say was your most memorable project?
I did a commercial with Marlon Wayans for AT&T.
All right.
At the end of the commercial, I was like, yo, Cousin Pee-wee. It was like a 7-footer, and here I am, 5'6". That's one of my most notable. That's one of the things that even if President Obama saw the commercial, he'll go, oh, I know, I remember that commercial. I'm one of those dudes.
Okay. So
like, I got the faith. I got the faith that I could show him the commercial, and I believe he would go, oh, yeah, I saw that. Because I had one of those most popular commercials, just like the Mikey kid, you know, with the cereal, you know. And I also been on that popular HBO series, The Wire.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. Who did you play on The Wire? Let the people know who you was on The Wire.
I played a dude named Tay. It's when the drugs got in the jail. I got killed off around the 4th episode. But, yeah, I was on that. There was a lot of love. I appreciate the love. Appreciate the, you know, everything that came with that. So, yeah, I've done that. I also done New York Undercover. I even worked with Whitney Houston in The Preacher's Wife. I played a lawyer in that movie.
Wow, that's what's
and,
up.
Wow.
So
that's
I've been around, you know what I mean? But
you
I also was on the...
In Oz, who you played?
Oz, I played a dude, Mustafa. You know, I was one of the homeboys, and then I became a Muslim. So, you know, a lot of little clips, you know, that you'll see like, oh, shit, that was Shorty. Yeah, that was me. And I'm still doing it. But now... I'm producing and directing in addition to what I already been doing, just like Ice Cube. Ice Cube make his own movies, but he producing and directing his own joints too. So Tyler Perry, same thing. He produced, write, and putting himself in his own projects, and that's where I'm at or what I'm doing. But I started out with a good way to start out with the Ray Vaughn, Johnny Wall story.
That's a great story to start, man. I mean, we're going to support that like real crazy here because, like I said, that's my childhood right there. I grew up, and the thing is, I'm going to tell you something that's real. Like, in my hood, you know, we got Johnny Wall and Ray Vaughn, and my hood in Schaumburg, that's like 2 blocks away from me. I'm across 110th Street, too. I'm in Clinton Houses, and I grew up with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But even though Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde may be a little more famous as for Andre Harrell, but straight up and down, the hood loved Johnny Wall and Ray Vaughn more, you know?
Sports.
And you
it
do,
was
do.
More hood.
Yeah, I'm just keeping it real, man. I'm just keeping it real. Like, you know, it was like Johnny Wall and Ray Vaughn related to every kid on the street. Like, this is back before we called cats hustlers and we called cats scramblers. You know what I mean? When you had the big beeper, you know, before it was the P-Funk dope and it was the scramble dope and it was that. And these dudes was in the game when it was really the real game where a dude was a pitcher and all that could make about $1,500 to $1,600 a day. Not the sneaker money and his crap money that cats was being in. So, you know, their career got halted because of the streets. And I want them to come and tell cats that because they would have been big. They would have probably been bigger than Sugar Hill and all that.
Yeah, no doubt, man. That's why the history got to be told, you know what I mean? Because Dougie Fresh told me, he said, you know, Travis, this is important information. This is his exact word. I got the interview on tape, so maybe I'm not verbatim word for word, but he said, Travis, this is important information because even the people that wrote the Bible, you know what I mean? They wrote down what they witnessed. And if we don't write this down, you know, in time, we're not going to know who Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wall is. So many of us don't know who they are already. When you talk about Cameron, you talk about Mace, and the newer generations that come up with hip-hop, even Big L, they might have not have known about them. And I think it's important.
And the thing about it, they all scream Harlem World. And the club Harlem World is one of the – that was a club that these dudes used to rock out of – like, used to rock down on the regular. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they killed it. They killed it. And you know what's dope about it? You know what's dope about the documentary? Everybody I've interviewed, including Red Alert, Cold Crush Brothers, Boogie Boys, they mentioned that, Jazzy J. They mentioned Dougie Fresh. They mentioned, you know, how Ray and Johnny – ran Harlem World. He was like the king of Harlem World.
You got Brucey B for this documentary too?
Not yet. I'm not going to say why not.
Kumo D?
I'm trying.
Okay.
But
it's
you know
important.
I'm going to ask you.
Make
this.
It happen. But some people, you know, I'm not going
to
say it.
But this is what I want
to
say to you right now. I know some cats got a little, and I'm not saying Kumo D or whoever it is, but I bet it's a couple of cats with some haterade in them because a lot of cats don't want their story to come out because when you hear it, you hear that it started here, started there, started there. They got a lot to do where it started at, too. They got a lot to do with a lot
right.
that started.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, wasn't they one
worked,
of the first
it,
ones?
You know, it worked to a lot of people advantage that Ray and Johnny went to jail.
Exactly. But what you said, Russ?
They was one of the first ones that was rocking Harlem World before all these mixtapes and everything was out, right?
Yeah, they was like the... all right, you had the Harlem World crew that was up in there, the Son of Sam and, you know, DJ Randy and all that. But they was like the headliners when they came. Because I'm going to tell you something, too, Trav. They was comedians at the same time. They would have the crowd laughing. You know
right.
what I'm saying? That was the crazy part that they added to their thing. Now, you picture now, you see rappers now, they walking back and forth, side to side. Now, back in the days when you seen an M7, you had a DJ that could come out and do a couple of backhand springs, Bebo, and a back summy, then go back and cut, right? Then not the man, he could breakdance. You had E-Man that was breakdance. You had a whole bunch of cats around him that was breakdance. I think they had like three DJs, Cookie, Tostic, and Spivey, so they could switch DJs
right.
on you. Then they had two M's. Then they had them two on the mic that was kicking it to you, like doing them and lyrically and kicking it to you and rocking, but at the same time, I'll take a pause and just have everybody in the crowd cracking up with like a comedy show out of nowhere.
Right.
So
right.
that was what a real MC was back in the days, I feel.
Yeah, did a little bit of everything.
So, you know, what I want to do right now is I want to play their new joint. You know what I mean? Hopefully, I think they're in the building. Hopefully, they're in the building. I think they're coming in the building now. But I want to play their new joint. If they're not, we're going to come back and kick it to them some more till they get here. Because I definitely want them to tell their side. But I just want to play this new joint and let the world hear the new Johnny Wild Ray Vaughn. You know what I mean? It's called Harlem Pride. And it's still M7?
Yeah.
It's still M7?
It's still M7. It's going to be M7 for life.
Exactly. I heard some new members, too, right? I heard they got a new generation of Magnificent 7 coming out, too, right?
Yeah. We got a dude named, you know, Crimson, Crim Della. He the last dude kicking it at the end.
All
right. He the newer generation. You hear Ray in the beginning. I'm the one who opened it up. I'm the person... the first person rapping on it. So it's like 3-4 generations.
Wow.
It's all the generations of hip-hop on it. So we went against the grain. We didn't say, well, you know, it's old school, new school. It's just a good song. Y'all ain't even know that. I hear it on the radio. This is live.
Yeah, we gonna do this right
y'all
now.
Didn't know that. That's like the way it is. But it's a good song.
So we gonna
and a definite
right.
Harlem anthem. And drop that shit, my
let's
man.
Let's do it, baby.
This song is complimentary to the documentary Hip Hop's Unsung Heroes, the Harlem Originators, Magnificent Seven. Yo, DJ Jazzy Moto, drop that beat.
Especially after dark, it's a whole new world once you get past Central Park. It's a world where it's all about the Benjamins, plotting with your mans in them. No matter what, we get to this. Paper chasing us to everyday life in this hood. Players and hustlers make it all good, but it could get worse depending on the first, the 15th of the month. Cats get out on the hunt for what they want. Doggy dog, survival of the fittest, looking out for number one. That's how cats did it. It's a daily operation. This ain't no gangstar, it's a dirty game, and a lot of cats bang hard. No remorse, no retreat, no surrender over in the Schaumburg Plaza. I can't remember hip-hop coming through hard from on the inside with Johnny Wall, Ray Vaughn, M7, Harlem Pride. Let's throw it up.
A little shot callers, all players and brawlers, running the game with no shame, it was stolen. Living life on the edge, every day getting red, making moves on the red. It's just that Harlem
smoking a new sport bag. I'm in the XK6 smoking a new sport jag on a jet. Chick stroking my new court bag. Okay, two smoking is my New York swag. Harlem copy. I don't give a fuck. This ain't hockey. Look the Gretzky. Case a little skater won't test me. I keep
keep my hoodie tight. Plus, rep my hoodie right. Boogie boy for life. Rest in peace, the boogie night. We had the block wet, wasn't even high yet. Fresh pair of British to overlap the mock neck. Spinning cream, more henny. Catch a flick on the juice. Now the jeans are skinny. Polo boots is loose. So high, I hate it. I'm still in the Benz buggy. And it's 20 years later, I'm still doing the ducky from the room, JD. Stay la vie. Pop a hot rep in Harlem to the END. What?
All of the shot callers, all the players and ballers, running the game with no shame, till the scoring scholars. Living like all the rest, every day getting red, making moves in the red.
Niggas, pull out a grand door. Plenty of paper high, still need to man more. Too much is never enough, and that's a damn sure. Welcome to Harlem World, this is where we swag hard. You see that pep in my step, I be the man song. From 55th Bridge, on down to 10th Street. We keep it live on Linux like no one is. I'm at the dice game, throwing head crap. All downs a bet, go ahead and bet a sack. And if you lose that, don't even step to black. It's double up, my G's embedded all back. This is all love, it's for my hustle love. Harlem born and bred, this shit is in our blood. And it ain't a gimmick, we so real with it. 30 years in the game, this shit is so authentic.
Only the shot callers, all the players and ballers. Running the game with no shame, till the squad is calling. Living like on the edge, every day getting bread. Making moves in the rag, it's just that Harlem.
If you don't know the homie, bump it, I don't explain myself to suckers. Bloody up your best, man, you running with the best. Suicide's in wet sand, it's muddy where I step. Yeah. But it's whatever, unbutton my shirt to show the F symbol. I'm H World to the death vigil, official. We don't stress little things, we got bigger visions. To take it all, no contest, split decision. Yeah. Stay focused on the goal, study this description. You dudes get to the target point, forget the mission. Catch a scar here, there, blood get to dripping. But still the show goes on, suing intermission. Catch us rolling through the credits, dudes don't respect us. See, some of y'all get popped for being overzealous. So play your part like you're supposed to, but remember this. Improv when you gotta, but don't forget to strip.
Yeah, that was hot. All around the world. Beef Stew Radio, you listening to Beef Stew Radio, the history of Harlem hip hop. I got my man Travis Jacob in the building with me and Drinks on Russ. But we got Ray Vaughn in the building, y'all.
What the deal? Ray Vaughn.
Yo, what
in the
up?
Building.
What up?
Ray
what's
Vaughn,
good?
What's
good? What up, Russ? What up?
Yo.
What up? What up?
Yo,
all
Ray.
Right, all right. Kev, what's good,
there.
Baby?
That sounded good there, Ray. Sounded really good there, man.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for the props, man. You know, I like to give, first of all, I give thanks to God, you know what I'm saying, my family and whatnot, and Travis for having the vision, you know, to reach back and do something like this, you know. Mm-hmm. This may not be the popular thing to do, but I think it's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do. But let me ask you, man, when did Magnificent Seven get together, man? We all want to know that. What year did y'all put that together?
The Magnificent Seven, we first got together in 1978. Wow. Actually, a lot of people don't know the history. The history goes like this here. The Magnificent Seven originally was seven DJs. They didn't even have any MCs.
Mm.
I wasn't even an original member. I was just a dude in the neighborhood, you know, hustling, you know, on the block, on 10th Street, Madison Avenue, you know, doing what we do. And, you know, I went up to the Renaissance one night and saw Starsky rhyming and kind of got influenced by him and started writing rhymes. And, you know, I would be, you know, on the block, in the hallways, you know, we smoking weed and whatnot. And my man, Howie Slinger, may he rest in peace, Howie Johnson out of 1295, we used to call him Slinger.
I remember.
Like, yo, Ray, kick one of them rhymes. So, you know, we high up, so, you know, I get to spitting. And that led to us going to parties, and one night, you know, I think it was Mr. Soul's first time I ever got on the microphone.
I remember Mr. Soul's.
Yeah, on 15th Street, right off 5th Avenue. And, you know, they gassed me up through the battery in my back. I jumped on the mic and killed it, basically. And from that point forward, like any time I would go to a party, because back then they used to throw jams out in the park everywhere.
Everywhere,
you know, I go to parties and whatnot, and if anybody on the mic, I'd be like, yo, can I get on? And in most cases, dude, they had no problem. They'd be like, yeah, go ahead, get on. And what happens is, you know, I started to build a little name for myself as far as rapping was concerned, as far as, you know, MCing. I'm going to say MCing because we didn't call it rapping back then. We called it MCing. Started to build a little name for myself. So as my name is, you know, as time is going on, I'm doing it more and more. I'm writing more, but I'm still knee deep in the hustle game, though. That's my bread and butter. That's what I'm doing. And as far as the Magnificent Seven is concerned, it was Spivey, Cookie, Shoeshine, a guy named DJ Silky, Howie D, DJ Smiley, and yeah, Tostic. Okay. And they would just come on the plaza and bring their music out. I knew Cookie all my life. I knew Cookie since I was like 8 years old. Me and Cookie grew up together even before I moved to Schaumburg. He lived right across the street from me. You know, I came here from Alabama in 1970, and I happened to move right across the street from Cookie. And we went to school together. Then when they moved to Schaumburg maybe a week or two before we moved to Schaumburg. And we lived in the same building. We lived in 1660. So I knew Cookie. I knew Spivey from Julia Richmond and from Schaumburg. Well, everybody who's on the plaza rocking, I knew them from the neighborhood. So what happens is they up there, they rocking, they doing what they doing. And me, Howie, Big Kev, Lil Kev, Mark Sampson, may he rest in peace. We downstairs hustling. You know how the plaza is. The plaza is like the second floor, and downstairs the street level. We down there, we hustling, but you can hear the music, you know, downstairs. So when we finished, you know, we finished pumping our bundles or whatever. Howie like, what you gonna do? I said, I'm going up into this party they got on the plaza. So I go up on the plaza, and I get on the mic. And, you know, everybody doing what they do, Cookie. And what happens is when Spivey gets on the turntables, you know, Spivey's cutting crazy. He's cutting crazy. I'm like, okay, all right, cool. Dude is nice. But matter of fact, I'm a little ahead of myself. Before I got to that point, I had met a guy that lived in my building named Angel. I don't know if he was a college kid or just a high school kid, but they did music. They didn't do it. It wasn't necessarily hip-hop music, but they did music. And by him hearing about me going around the neighborhood at these parties, these jams, rapping, he came and knocked on my door one day. I lived in 8C. He lived in 8G, I believe. And was like, yo, Ray, listen, we throwing a party coming up soon. You want to be the MC? So I'm like, sure, why not? Now, this is my first official jam. I'm like, sure, why not? He's like, okay, cool. But what he didn't tell me was that the party was a battle, you know. It was a battle with Jekyll and Hyde. They was battling Jekyll and Hyde. Now, I knew who Jekyll and Hyde was. Everybody in the neighborhood knew who Jekyll and Hyde was. Because at that time, Jekyll and Hyde was the premier MCs back then.
Yeah.
It was nice. They had nice little routines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They did their thing. So what happens is I go to the party, get on the mic, and these guys, they like I said, they weren't really DJs. They were more like mixers, I guess. But they, well, whatever the case may be, they wasn't keeping the beat. So every time I started rhyming, they kept throwing me off beat. So I got mad, you know, screamed them out, you know, got off stage, you know. I go outside, I'm tired, I'm mad, you know, the party's almost over because I didn't get a chance to rock like I wanted to rock. And, you know, in all actuality, you know, they tore me up that night. Jekyll and Hyde, they did their thing that night. So I run into E-Man, you know, E-Man's outside, me and him get to talking. I knew him from B-Boy. He's like, yo, all you need is the right dude cutting for you. Make sure your rhymes, you're nice on the mic, but, you know, dudes, they don't know how to cut. I said, okay, cool, whatever, E-Man, you know, whatever. So what makes now back to the plaza thing. When I get up on the plaza, I'm rhyming, and Spivey gets on the table, and me and Spivey just click. It's like, you know, in my opinion, Spivey was the nicest dude as far as the turntable is concerned, in that area. You know, you had Louie Lou was super nice, but nice. Spivey
was
like,
the man.
Exactly. A lot of people don't give Spivey his props. You know, they think, when you think in terms of Flash, Theodore, even Master Don, may he rest in peace, you got to mention Spivey.
Spivey.
You got to. Spivey was nice like that, you know. And what happens is we go on, we start rhyming, start throwing little parties together. Now, how Johnny Wall came into the picture was, Johnny Wall is not from Schaumburg. Johnny's originally from Jefferson, but I went to school with Johnny, too. Johnny went to, where did he go? He went to Richmond with me. Me and him was in the same class in Richmond, same social study class. We were cut-ups in the class. We get kicked out of class together and all that. And how I find out that Johnny is emceeing is Mark Sampson, again, may he rest in peace, brings Johnny to the plaza one day. We up on the plaza, a bunch of people up there. We ain't throwing no party. We just up there chilling. So Mark brings him to me. He's like, yo, Ray, this is my man Johnny. You know, he Mother Jefferson. You know, he can rhyme. So I'm like, I know Johnny. I went to school with him. So I'm like, what's up? So Johnny spit a rhyme for me. You know, the ride float like a butterfly, ride like a car, go by the name of MC, Johnny Wall, and so forth and so on. So I'm like, yo, he's smooth. He had a smooth little voice. So we hook up. It's start writing rhymes together, me and Johnny. And the next time we battled Jekyll and Hyde, you know, it was kind of monumental because Jekyll and Hyde, they had a good movement back then. They had a good, you know, a following, so to speak. The East Side
I was part of their promoters, I know.
Okay, the East Side was riding Jekyll and Hyde hard.
Yeah.
And I wanted the East Side. When I started rapping, all I wanted to do was get known on the East Side, like, you know, like go to parties and people recognize me like they recognize them, which they was doing, but I was still like that, you know, that secondary MC,
mm-hmm.
whereas they was, you know, they were the main attraction. So when we, you know, we got our routines down pat, the next time we went on, right at Clinton Center, mm-hmm. you know, right at Clinton Center on 10th Street, Lexington Avenue, me, Johnny, E-Man was with us, but he was, you know, he wasn't really rhyming too much. He was just doing little ad-libs, like I guess that's what you would call it now, hype man or whatever, you know. And we killed it. We killed it to the point where now people is like, yo, Magnificent Seven dudes, man, they doing a little something.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing you know, we got a following now. You know, we have a following. And we go back and forth for years, you know, with Jekyll and Hyde. But what separated us was around about 1979, I wrote the first verse to what would become our signature rap style, the sing rap style. You know, I tell people all the time, I'm not patting myself on the back and I'm not trying to big up myself, but I created that. Nobody was doing that.
Definitely did.
Nobody was doing that before I did that.
You was right.
And it all came about by chance. You know, I always finish my, you know, I sing a little bit. My little brother, Nicky, who was in the cigar mob, he sing better than me, of course. Well, he did back then. Mm-hmm. And we used to sing in a choir when we was kids. We were church-going kids. My mother used to make us go to church every Sunday. Sit three times on Sunday sometimes. But anyway, we in Cookie House one day. He's dabbing with To Be Real, playing with To Be Real, cutting it up. So I start humming along to the To Be Real melody. And I'm not even really saying any words. I'm just humming along to it. And Cookie is like, yo, put some words to that. Put some words to it. Say something. Don't just hum. Say something. So, you know, I started, I think the first thing in my mind was, well, you dip and you dive and mm-hmm. you. And from that point, I turned it into an official song.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a lot of controversy about our songs and the Crash Crew songs. And the reason being is because, you know, flat out, if you want to put it straight, Crash Crew invited us to their parties, put us on their, you know, on their flyers, got our style down pat, and put that song out.
Mm.
A lot of people don't know that, but that's where that song came, because if you listen to G-Man's verse on that song, G-Man says, you walking down the street with
yeah.
your box in your hand, and my verse went like this. You walking down the street just shaking your ass, girl. I mean, any old tape that you get, if you listen to it,
yeah.
and this is before they recorded that, so it's not like I'm lying.
No,
you know, and when Travis came to me with the idea about his documentary, he said, yo, you know what? Y'all need to tell your story, because a lot of people don't realize the role y'all played in hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with him. I was like, you know, you might be right. But when he first came to me, I'm not going to lie to you, Stu, I had washed my hands of hip-hop. Not that I didn't like Ray, because I love hip-hop music. You know, I like the Jay-Z's. I like the Biggie's. You know, I like the T.I.'s, the Ludacris, you know, Jada Kiss, Styles. You know, I like them dudes. I like good music.
Mm-hmm.
But when he came to me, I wasn't writing no rhymes. You know, I was working, supporting my family.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Ray, this is your legacy here. You know, you can't turn your back on this. This is who you are. And, you know, he convinced me to start doing little stuff, you know, writing, going into the studio, so forth and so on. And then he was doing what he was doing on the documentary end, filming people, letting me see the interviews. And I'm watching these interviews, and I'm surprised. These people know us. DMC know me. KRS-One know who I am. You know, all these people, they know, not only know me, they quoting our rhymes.
Mm. How'd that make you feel?
Yeah, it made me feel like, yo, hold up, man. You know, because I always felt that me and Johnny got a bump steer. You know, we got pushed to the side. We had a raw deal, but it wasn't nobody's fault but our own. Because I always tell people, I never made a dime in hip-hop. I sold drugs when I was a kid. I was a hustler. I was your typical Harlem kid. You know what I'm saying? I grew up admiring dudes like you know, Frank Lucas, Freddie Myers. You know, I didn't admire Sugar Hill Gang and Grandmaster. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like their music. You know what I'm saying? Mel and them was always nice. Cold Crush, those my boys, JDL, Kaz, Easy AD, KG, love them dudes. Romantic Five, you know. But at the same token, I didn't aspire to be the next big rapper. I aspired to be the next big drug dealer because that's what was in my face. That's what was presented to me. You know, I go to 114th Street and I see Freddie Myers. I go up 10 on 125th Street. I see Guy Fisher, Nicky Barnes, all them dudes. Well, Nicky was in prison by then, but I knew Nicky from my uncle from years back. Mm-hmm. And that's who I wanted to be. I wanted to be like Big Kev. I wanted to be like Chick. You know, I wanted to be like them dudes.
Yeah, no doubt. We all did.
Yeah, exactly. So the point I'm trying to make is, had I taken my rap career serious, because I don't really blame nobody for what happened to me except for me. You know, I chose to do what I did. I chose to sell drugs. I chose to, you know, try to get that money like I was trying to get that money. And, you know, instead of concentrating on my music thing, because I look back now, I even hear myself sometimes from old school stuff, and I'd be like, damn, I was dead ass nice. I mean, for real, man.
You ain't got nothing to be mad at. I felt you was nice. You know, I was a young cat. And back then, when y'all used to rhyme back then, y'all used to be cats' heroes because it wasn't nothing on the radio, but maybe here and there. We used to really hear records at like stores like The Wiz or stuff like that. You know, that's where you really heard a rap record. We wasn't really on the radio like that. And you guys really didn't even have a record, but you guys had a major following. What was, at the point, once y'all got on, how did y'all build that following? Did it just come naturally, you know?
Well, you know what it was? It was our overall street persona, the whole Harlem thing. Like I said, we were just being us. Mm-hmm. But people would look at us in awe. And one of the reasons why, like I said, Kev, we were, you know, we was fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and John, you know, we fairly good-looking dudes. You know what I'm saying? We had girls screaming our names. And a dude told me one time, and this is when I was in prison, you know, incidentally, I wound up doing like 23 years in prison. I spent 23 years of my life in prison. And I was in prison with this guy, and I didn't know who he was, but he knew who I was. He walked up to me, yo, you Ray Vaughn, right? So I'm like, yeah. So me and dude became kind of cool. So one night we kicking it. You know what he said to me? He said, and I'll never forget this. He said, Ray, when we was young and you was out there doing your thing, you and Johnny, he said, let me tell you something, man. Every chick in Harlem, he said, yo, every dude in Harlem want to be like you, and every chick in Harlem want to fuck you. I'm like, yo, you stupid, man. He said, I'm dead ass, man. He said, I used to stand in them crowds and just watch this. Watch how you had these people mesmerized, yo. He's like, they hanging on your every word. And you mentioned something earlier about the comedy that we included in our act.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would do that. You know, we'd stop the music and start fucking with people, snapping on people. And it was all done in good. We didn't do it to down anybody or make anybody feel shame. Shit, some people felt good by us joking on them.
Yeah, niggas stood right there to get snapped on back in the day.
Exactly.
And the thing about that I found amazing with y'all, the places y'all used to choose to rock. Like, all right, the Plaza was one place, but y'all rocked in Central Park with it when the boat joint got on fire, and that shit was like a big turnout. Like the spots y'all used to pick to rock was crazy. Like, what made y'all pick spots like that?
Okay, Central Park, you know, that's right across the street from Schaumburg. Mm-hmm. And I forgot whose idea it was, but some of our best joints was thrown in, I mean, outside of Hollywood or whatnot, in Central Park. Like,
exactly.
We used to pack Central Park to the point where, see, the cops wasn't really, they didn't really fuck with people too tough back then about us playing music because they know, you know, nobody was shooting, nobody was doing the dumb shit. But we had, I remember one particular joint. We had Central Park so packed, man. And like you said, Dinah Rock, Whip a Whip, all them dudes used to come down there and get on the mic, Mo D, whoever, Crash Crew. Everybody would come through there because, okay, that's M7, Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wan, them dudes out in the park. And they know it's packed. They know it's girls there. They know it's dudes there. They know it's a party atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? I remember, like I said, I remember we packed the park so much that the cops came and they was like, yo, what are y'all doing? Like, we just playing music, man. He's like, yo, you got too many people out here.
Yeah,
I mean, people
like
were everywhere. They were everywhere. I mean, almost all the way around the lake. And you know how big the lake is.
Mm-hmm.
People was almost all the way around the lake. I mean, the boathouse area that you spoke of, that was packed.
Yeah.
You know, it was like wall to wall. Me and Johnny had to stand on two garbage cans for the crowd to see us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you're a little dude, y'all attracted so many stars that that's where we saw everybody that's who now being celebrated in hip-hop. They came to y'all joint. And I feel that y'all was unfairly robbed of, you know, of tradition in hip-hop. That's why I really was wanting to do this show about it, you know. But I want you to tell people what happened, like, what stopped y'all, because y'all was on a roll like crazy. Y'all would have been better than Sugar Hill. Everybody know that. Y'all probably would have made something that went further than Sugar Hill, but what was the hurdle that y'all ran into?
Okay, what stopped us was we stopped ourselves. Like I said, we was knee-deep in the drug game. And when I say knee-deep, we was knee-deep. You know, we were picking up drugs and selling drugs 100 miles an hour. We were selling drugs, you know, at a point where we became the subject of a federal investigation, my whole family, my brothers, all of us. And we all went down together. The feds came to my house and took everybody out of my house and so forth and so on. And you got to remember, we kids at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We 17, 18, 19 years old. We kids. But we're on a level where, you know, we're being targeted as a federal investigation. And we were so deep into it. And the reason being because all that glitters is not gold, but it looked good to us. And you can't tell a kid when he's 17, 18, 19 years old, you got to stop that. What you're doing is wrong. No, we fill in our pockets, we're taking care of our family, we fly everywhere we go, we recognize. It's like what hip-hop artists go through today, but on a different level. That's why when I see shows by whoever, Luda or whoever, Jay-Z or whatever, and I see the crowds, they react, I'm like, yo, I know that feeling there. I know that feeling to walk into a room and everybody know who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's just like, yo, that's Ray Vaughn and them right there, that's Ray Vaughn and them. Or go anywhere. And Harlem, let me tell you something, man. I'm a Harlem dude to my heart, right? Harlem is the capital of every ghetto in the world. I always say that. You know, we invented swag. You know,
exactly.
We invented swag. And I always tell people that everywhere you look, people who call themselves having swag or whatever, they get that from Harlem and don't even realize they get that from Harlem. You know, the trends that we set. Timberland boots. Nobody was wearing Timberland boots until Harlem dudes starts wearing Timberland boots.
Exactly.
And we wore Timberland boots to keep our feet warm because we were out there on the avenue all winter.
Mm-hmm.
We made it fashionable. You know, Adidas suits. Run DMC didn't make that popular. Let me retract that. They made it popular, but they wasn't the first to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Dudes in Harlem had on Adidas suits, you know, with the Kango hats on.
Yep.
Now, the funny thing is, I tell people how you would recognize a Harlem dude on Rackers Island was if they came through with British Walkers or Timbs on, because everybody in Brooklyn wore Wallaby, Clarks, and Pumas.
Pumas, yep.
Exactly.
That's right.
And that's how you knew who was from where.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people pick up, they take a bite out of the apple, they take a bite out of Harlem. You know, they don't realize sometimes that they are, but this is the town of swag. You know, I mean, even to this day, you look around, your Harlem, we still got swag, but swag back then was like, it was unbelievable, man. It was unbelievable, mm-hmm. kid.
Yeah, now, we got somebody on the line. We got Mark on the line. Marcus on the line. He was definitely rolling with the cigar mob back in the days. Mark, you in there? You there, baby?
Yeah, what up, cuz?
What's up, cuz?
What's going on?
Okay. That's my cousin, Nib, y'all.
Yeah, what's up, Mark? Everything good. What's up, Bebo?
I'm okay. Everything good, man. Everything good. How's everything?
Man, it's a blessing, man, to hear the brothers, man, come on back, man, and do what they do. Hey, Ray, that song is a hit, baby.
Okay. Thank you, bro.
You hear that, Ray? You hear that?
Yeah, how your mother doing, man? I don't mean to make a family. How your mom's doing?
She good, man. She asks about you all the time, bro. We wait for you to call her down and get some vacation.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Ray. Tell a true story about that, man, about how everybody know everybody moms from babysitting days, man. You can think about it, man. It's okay,
and see,
that's
man. That's another thing. The guy that's on the line right now, Mark Backus, Baby Rock from Cigar Mall.
That's
original
right.
Five, one of the original five of Cigar Mall. Even before they were Cigar Mall, Mark Backus and his little brother Dion used to come to our house and spend the night so that his mother and my mother could go out and party.
That's
listen,
right.
Man, you know,
that's right.
It was a straight family thing. It was a straight family thing back then.
Right,
you know
that's right. Love is love.
That's right. And a lot of people don't realize this either, for a cigar mob is concerned. Cigar, I mean, you have your gangs out of Bloods and Crips or whatever, but Cigar Bar wasn't a gang. It was a movement.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cigar right. Bar was a movement. I mean, they did things. They was involved in criminal activity. You know, I'm not going to sit here and try to
That's
ask
right.
you. You know what I'm saying? They did what they did. But when you go to a party, like my parties, for instance, Nicky D is my brother. Little Nicky D is
All
my
day.
Brother. You know what I'm saying? Mark is my cousin. They Cigar mm-hmm. Bar affiliated to the T. So when you go to a Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wah party, you know, you ain't got to worry about security because mm-hmm. they there.
That's right.
Come on. Yo, I'm going to bug y'all out, and I'm going to tell y'all a real true life story about what your brother Nicky D did for me when I was a little dude. I'm cutting school right after Easter. You know how everybody after Easter wear they British walkers or whatever to school. So we cut school in Benjamin Franklin and Cigar Mart deep. Like 50 Dude Maniac, you know, Reggie Maniac, his brother.
Go ahead, brother.
I can name a bunch of cats. All of a sudden, the axe come through the joint, right? And it's me, Alpo, and a few of my friends. We little cats now. This is little Alpo. Everybody get robbed but me because Nicky D pulled me to the side and held me down.
You had the juice card, baby.
That was back then how real things used to go. And I'm going to tell you something crazy. I had to smoke the weed that we chipped in for my boys with Nicky on the side. That's how
love
real
is love, man. Yes, sir. We doing it, baby.
Okay. Yo, wait, Johnny. Is Johnny on the line?
We're trying to find him. I don't see him yet. You know what I'm saying? He ain't get here yet.
Okay, all right. Because I made sure I told him to call in, man. Well, Johnny had a death in his family, too, you know.
All right.
Matter of fact, we're supposed to rehearse tomorrow for the upcoming gig on the 6th. And he hit me today and said he had a death in his family. So I don't know. He might not be feeling up to it or whatever. But I definitely told him about the show tonight. He told me that he was going to call in.
Now, we give him our condolences. Yeah, we definitely give him our condolences here, man. Now, what y'all feel about hip-hop now, man? What y'all feel about these cats now? Do you think they owning up to they rap these dudes? Because y'all was real hustlers, doing it really big, and y'all wasn't even really rhyming about what y'all was doing. But these cats right now, they be boasting about it a lot. What y'all feel about that?
Okay. First of all, let me just backtrack a minute. Actually, you know, I had a few rhymes, you know, glorifying the hustle life. It wasn't at the level it is now because you hear a whole song of motherfuckers talking about how he murdered this, how he did that. We ain't never talking about murdering nobody. We talk about getting money, you know, chicks and whatever. But as far as today's, the level of hip-hop today, it's too whitewashed. It's like you don't get a variety of stuff. You don't get different, you know, different people coming at you from different angles. Well, you do on some levels, but not as much as you should because nowadays you have way more rappers than you had back then, than you had MCs back then. Mm-hmm. And what I don't like about the game, I like the game because I know this here, nothing stays the same. Hip-hop has evolved. You know, you can't expect people to stay on the same level that they were in 1978, 79. You know, it's become a billion-dollar industry. People are making money off of it. But what I dislike about the game is that there is no loyalty. When I say that, I mean we think in terms of the Rolling Stones, Aerosmith, rock and roll, period. Mm-hmm. These are groups. The Rolling Stones have been making music for over 50 years. They can go anywhere in this world and sell out just because they're the Rolling Stones. Whereas a Grandmaster Caz, the Cold Crush 4, Grandmaster Flash, the Furious 5, Mastodon Death Committee, Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wah, we don't get that type of love from the hip-hop community. They push us to the side. They push old-school acts to the back. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody says, yo, you know what? These are the guys who laid the groundwork. These are the guys who opened the doors. You know what I'm saying? They may not have been on the level that we are on now because you got to remember, everything started out local. Then it made its way around the world. But give them their props, man. When you see them dudes, give them their props.
Mm-hmm.
Let you know, recognize that these are the people who laid the groundwork for you to be successful as you are now. They don't do that in hip hop.
Now I want to ask you, like we was talking about hustlers, like some of the legendary hustlers that they made movies about, like let's say such as Alpo. These cats used to look up to you. Like I was telling Travis earlier that when I interviewed Alpo, the only rap group that he mentioned was you and Johnny Wah instead of a Jay-Z that who was at that time when I interviewed him really popping. How you felt about that? Like younger hustlers looked up to y'all as hustlers, and he became a legend as a hustler.
Well, I knew Poe from the streets too. Actually, a lot of people don't know about what happens is I didn't bring Alpo uptown. Alpo's from downtown. He's from, I think, East River. And, you know, we from Schaumburg. And in the early 80s, you know, I started doing some business with Pope. He was over on 115th Street. I was on 140th Street. And he got into some kind of mess down there. He had to get out from down there. He had to leave out from down there. So he came uptown, you know, met me uptown one day. Was like, yo, Ray, let me rock with you for a little while. And because, you know, he east side, I always had a preference, you know, towards east side people because I grew up on the east side. I mean, I love all of Harlem, but, you know, east side is kind of special in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So we went in together. We started making money together, you know. For whatever reason, I don't know, we had no falling out or whatever, but, you know, he branched out and went his way. I went my way. And, you know, for him to remember and to big up me, like, because Poe is big. He's big in the hood now. He's big in the hood. You know, people still respect him. People, you know, even though, you know, there's some things he did that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
You know, I got to keep it 100 with you that I don't agree with. He's still, you know, he's still that dude to some people.
Yeah.
You know? And it's big for him to say, yo, listen, man, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, Ray Vaughn and Johnny Watt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when Poe was, he represented Harlem to the fullest. He was a straight Harlem dude, man. I mean, he was like, yo, you know, him, Rich, L.A., A.Z., you know, that whole little movement, that whole little era there, you know, they took hustling to another level.
Mm-hmm. And another thing a lot of cats that don't know that was around y'all was the Shaq Dust Crew, which originated this motorcycle bike riding. And they came out hanging around Magnificent Seven and being at the Johnny Wah and Ray Vaughn, you know, little joints, pulling up with the bikes and making noise and being sore.
Yeah, that was Lil' Carl, Trent, Jamie O, my cousin Bebe. You know, there's too many of them to name, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, they when you see people like the Rough Riders, I'll give you an example. In the 90s, the Rough Riders, they had a big movement.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, that's something that the Shaq crew used to do. They love bikes.
Mm-hmm.
They love getting money. They would go to places in packs. They would come to Harlem World crewed up. I mean, when you came to Harlem World, a lot of people talk about Harlem World, but a lot of people never been to Harlem World.
Mm-hmm.
Harlem World was a whole nother world, yo. When you stepped inside of Harlem World, it was like you stepped into somebody's dream. You know, at the time it was the premier discotheque or whatever you want to call it, or party spot or whatever you want to call it. It was three floors. A lot of people don't realize it was three floors.
Mm-hmm.
The top floor was reserved for, I guess, what you would call VIP now, but that's where all the big, you know, the big fellows was up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the main dance floor, the light up dance floor, the DJ booth was up in the sky. You know, you had to climb up a ladder to get to the DJ booth. The stage was right there. I mean, it was just a whole different aura than any other place, than any other spot, than the Fever, Renaissance, or whatever else. They didn't have that, you know, that glamorized Harlem World look, man. I mean, Harlem World was just, it was a palace.
And another thing, a lot of cats don't know. Everybody talk about the Busy Bee, Cool Mo D battle, but y'all dudes was there that night too, rocking, and y'all tore the house down that night too.
No, actually, Johnny was there.
Yeah, Johnny Wild was there. He tore the house down that night.
Yeah, I was in jail already. A guy named Troy O. Smith, he just pieced something together about that night. You know, that's a famous night in hip hop.
Yeah.
And he said, yo, what if Ray Vaughn was there?
Mm.
You know, because me and Johnny, we killed the battle circuit for years.
Mm-hmm.
For a few years, we just killed the battle circuit. I don't remember battling Mo D, me and him going head up or nothing like that. I don't remember battling Treasure 3 at all. But just about everybody from that era, because what they would throw back then what they call MC conventions.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it's like a bunch of MCs is on the card, and whoever rocked the house the hardest, they get that trophy. And me and Johnny got about 10 trophies, so, you know, nothing for nothing, you know, I'm not hating on it. We got about 10 trophies out that deal. So.
Did y'all ever go against Busy B?
No, Busy didn't battle us. We didn't battle, but hold up, back it up. MC Convention, Audubon Ballroom, this is one of my major moments also. This is one of the things that put me on the map also, because basically, like I tell you, I was an East Side MC to start off with. This is 1979. I can't remember the month or the date, but it was the fall time because I remember practically everything I did that day. And I went to the Audubon Ballroom, we had agreed, Spivey and us, we had agreed that I was to go on as a solo act as opposed to us going on as a group, because we wasn't as well known yet as some of the bigger groups, the Grandmaster Caz, the Grandmaster Flashes, the Fantastic Romantic, all those groups, they were established. We were established on the east side, but we hadn't branched out yet. Mm-hmm. And Lovebug Starsky was the MC for that night. The cool DJ AJ was the promoter. He was throwing the party. So people were going on, and tearing the house down. The groups went on. Came time for the solo acts to go on. I was supposed to go on before Busy B that night, and Busy was supposed to be the last guy to go on. In a way, it was set up for Busy to win because AJ threw the party, and mm-hmm. Busy was his MC. Mm-hmm. But a funny thing happened is this here. I didn't get on when I was supposed to get on because I was somewhere smoking weed with somebody. So when I came back, I done got my smoke on. Starsky like, yo, where you was at? Lovebug Starsky. I said, yo, I wanted to talk to somebody for a minute. What's up? I said, yo, you supposed to went on, man. So Busy is out there on the stage. He killed me. I said, so what, I can't go on there? He's like, nah, you got to go on behind Busy now, man. You supposed to went before Busy. So Busy, he, you know, like I said, he out there, he doing his number. So when he finished, they gave me the mic. And, you know, I'm not going to lie to you, Kim. I ripped that shit down so crazy that it started a riot. And the reason being it started a riot because what happens is this here. When it came time to give the trophy to the winner, you know, they already knew it was some shit in the air.
Mm-hmm.
But we in Harlem. Busy mm-hmm. is from the Bronx, but we in Harlem. And when they announced the winner of the solo act, they announced Busy B. I mean, I got second place, but they announced Busy B.
Mm-hmm.
So people in the crowd starts grumbling and start heckling. Yo, get the fuck out of here, yo. Yo, they jerking you, Ray. They jerking you. So I'm like, I'm standing there. I ain't really saying too much. So while they're saying that, the Bronx people are like, fuck that, Busy won. So next thing you know, argument leads into a fight out in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, everybody is dispersing, is going crazy. You know, the cops come, they shut the party down.
Mm-hmm.
But all that started because, you know, people felt that I got jerked that night. Mm-hmm. And Busy, you know, that's my boy. You know, I see him from time to time. I haven't seen him in a while now, but I see him from time to time. And sometimes we laugh and joke about it. I'd be like, yo, you know I got you that night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead, Ray. But he know. You know in your heart when you, you know, when you rob somebody. You know.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, man. Now, sometimes, when you look back at a lot of stuff, like, I'm going to say, a lot of times a lot of people thought y'all was a rowdy crew for back then.
Yeah.
Used to go to the jams, and at one point in time, like, y'all was known to set it off if something jumped off.
Yeah.
You know? And I think y'all was like, I don't know if I'm sure if I'm saying this right, but was y'all part of another crew from the Bronx called Casanovas, used to roll, come see y'all and support y'all too?
No, we wasn't actually. Okay, what happens is, you know, he just passed away recently too. My man Diamond Dave was mm-hmm. Casanova affiliated. And, mm-hmm. you know, he took us to a few of their parties and they got to know us and whatnot. And, you know, they considered us family. We was never officially Casanova members. We were more related to Cigar Mob than anything.
Okay.
But Cigar Mob was my family.
Yeah.
My brother, my cousin. So we were more related to them than anything else. But what happens with the Casanova is that they came down to Harlem one night for a party over 119th Street. One mm-hmm. of the Casanova members got into an argument with one of the Down Boys. I don't know if you remember them, but Down Boys
and the Young Lords. I remember them.
Exactly. That was a Spanish crew
yeah.
over on the east side. Lil Zip. Johnny Zip
on the floor, Master Top.
Exactly. Those are my boys. We
yeah.
all knew each other in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened, dude from the Casanova, he came down there, you know, running off in the mouth and got beat up.
Mm.
You know, somebody beat him up. It was one-on-one. We made sure it was one-on-one. But he went back to the Bronx. They told the cats in the Bronx that he got jumped.
Mm.
So being that Diamond Dave was, like, you know, godfather, you know, of Harlem, a man, whatever his title was, they felt that Dave allowed him to come down to his territory and something happened to him. See, that's the way it was back then. If you go to a person's party, they're responsible for you. If I go to Cold Crush party, they're responsible for me. If Cold Crush come to my party, I'm responsible for them. But the difference is that we're not disrespectful to the point. We don't start shit. We'll finish it, but we don't start shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And what happened was, this dude went back, he lied. And what happens is Diamond Dave, E-Man, a couple other dudes, they got invited to a party to the Bronx. I was supposed to go too, but for whatever reason, I didn't go. And they got jumped. They got beat up real bad. You know, they jumped them, you know, on some other shit. as far as the Casanovas from Tiny and the rest of them dudes, I spoke with Tiny about that. He asked, I said, yo, your man is lying. Your man didn't get jumped. You know, your man had a fair fight and he lost. It was too late. The damage was done already. But we had a pretty good relationship with Casanovas after that. But that was the bump in the road with them. Now, people had a misconception because I remember a guy who interviewed me when I first came home that me and Johnny and all of us was like stick-up kids.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that comes from being affiliated with the Cigar Mob.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cigar Mob was stick-up kids. That's what they did. They did that. Matter of fact, at one time, they was robbing people in our parties.
Yeah.
I had to tell my brother, y'all gotta chill with that.
Now, who was the throw your hands in the air joint? It's supposed to have been that Mr. Souls. I'm just making sure because I was a little younger. I couldn't get into Mr. Souls. Even though I'm a kid, he ain't let me in for some reason. But
throw
I remember
your hands
I,
in the air and I leave him there?
Yeah. And, you know,
you heard about that, huh?
Yeah. You know, and then they stole that and put it in Who's the Man, Ed Lover and Dr. Dre. But that really happened uptown. Around, you know, around y'all time and y'all era.
I think that was at 201, man. That happened at 201, man. And it's kind of coming again. That's Cigar Mall. That's Leroy. That's Baby Rock. Little Sean Lambert and all them dudes, man.
Yeah, right. God bless the dead, Sean Lambert.
Yeah, God bless the dead.
And that's crazy because they stole that thing and put it in Who's the Man. And when I first seen it, I'm like, oh, man, that happened. With Cigar Mall.
Wow, Cam, you've been around, huh?
I was a little bad. Yo, let me tell you, a lot of y'all don't know, people that don't know, Ray, is that Dr. Jekyll is Andre Harrell. A lot of people don't really know that, you know?
Of course, I know it.
Yeah, I know you know it, but you know a lot of people don't know when you say Dr. Jekyll and Hyde. They don't match Andre Harrell that's down Puffy now, Uptown Records, to be Dr. Jekyll. I used to be babysitted by Mr. Hyde. I couldn't even come outside. My moms used to pay him. So they used to take me everywhere where y'all was at and just let me run free. So that's why I saw a lot of stuff. I was fortunate. Back then, I didn't know how fortunate I was. But now, doing my thing, I seen how fortunate I was just to be running around and being there at the time because I did see history go down with y'all, you know.
One of them used to be your babysitter?
Yeah, Mr. Hyde.
I used to be Baby Rock babysitter.
Okay, no problem.
Y'all the bug babysitters back then because we used to learn how to smoke weed and do little things, We learned from y'all, you know?
But one thing I remember about Cigar Mar was, yo, that kid, Maniac. You have to give props to Maniac. That kid was just off the chain with this red cord. I mean, he was just off the rocks. Mark, can you explain a little bit about him, B?
Yeah, Maniac, man. Peace to Eastside, man, all day, every day. Maniac, man, he was really a maniac. This dude was here, man. He had create something every day, man. I'm talking about he'd come up with something every day. He'd stir something up, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Maniac was proficient. Yep, Eastside, I think it was from Carver Project,
I think it's Metro North he's from. He's really
Metro North with Smokey Machine in them.
Smokey Machine.
Yeah, Maniac was official, man.
Okay, I got something else to say about it because, you know, I was a little kid growing up and I heard stories about Cigar Mob, even though I was born and raised in Harlem, right there in Stinking Lincoln, all day, every day. But I heard that it was something with the Cigar Mob and the Ball Busters, y'all combined talents and y'all went and did something. Is that true? I don't know how true that is. Can you speak about that?
Oh, yeah, we let them have it. They wanted competition and they got it. Like I said, like that.
And today, a lot of people don't know the Ball Busters is those Spanish groups because the Ball Busters was back from back in the day, the original Spanish group. You understand what I'm saying?
Dominicans don't play. That's what they is now.
That's right. Now, we went up to Broadway with limousines. We went up to this town in limousines because they had a little problem with Sean Lambert.
Something else I can speak about. It was this club here in Harlem, like on 158th Street, called Club 2000. I was there when Biz Markie caught the cut in his face, and the whole cigar bar was there, and the whole thing. And I was there that night in Club 2000 when that happened to him. I was there that night when Salt-N-Pepa, they always talk about how they always diss for Dougie Fresh and everything like that. But what about when they pulled out the Ivy Soap and had the wigs? Yeah, I was there that night, too.
Wow.
I was there that night in IS-201. I was there that night, too.
You got robbed, bro?
Word.
You threw your hands up in the air, Russ?
Yeah. A little nigga. I was a little nigga, B. Word. I was a little nigga, B.
But
I remember
them
times, B.
You know what I want to do, yes. Russ? I want to play this song one more time before we let them go out, man, because they telling us we got to play some of the other music. They're getting on my back now, you know, but this was...
Please, Russ. Okay.
You know, Mark, good looking, man.
But love is love. All day, that's what we do. All day, every day. I catch y'all in the summer. I'll be at 10.
Yo, don't forget about the boat ride, B. Memorial weekend, B. The pictures, B. Cause also, let me tell y'all something. Mark is also down with me and Backdoor Entertainment. He's our picture guy. Am I lying, Mark?
That's right.
All day, every day, Harlem, stand up.
All right.
That's right. That's what we're doing now.
Now, what I want to do now, Russ, I want to play that song again, man. I want to let Harlem hear it. I want to let the world hear it again because I think it's hot. And I want to come back with you, Ray. You might want to shout some people out, Trav. You might want to shout some people out, give out some websites or wherever people can see you. We're definitely gonna link the promo to y'all joint to the documentary on our blog so people can get that. Check it out there. We'll probably be up there by tomorrow night. All right, but well, we're going to get one more back into this joint right here. Harlem Pride, you're listening to Beef Stew Radio. We were definitely talking to Ray Vaughn. He enlightened us. I'm going to come back and ask him a little bit more before we go, but I want to play this joint one more time. Let's kill it.
This song is complimentary to the documentary, Hip Hop's Unsung Heroes, the Harlem Originator, Magnificent Seven. Yo, DJ Jazzy Moto, drop that beat.
Especially after dark, it's a whole new world once you get past Central Park. It's a world where it's all about the Benjamins, fighting with your mans in them. No matter what, we get to this. Paper chasing us to everyday life in this hood. Players and hustlers make it all good, but it could get worse depending on the first, the 15th of the month. Cats get out on the hunt for what they want. Doggy dog, survival of the fittest, looking out for number one. That's how cats did it. It's a daily operation. This ain't no gangstar, it's a dirty game, and a lot of cats bang hard. No remorse, no retreat, no surrender over in the Schaumburg Plaza. I can't remember hip-hop coming through hard from on the inside with Johnny Wall, Ray Vaughn, M7, Harlem Pride. Let's throw it up.
Home of the shot callers, old players and brawlers, running the game with no shame, was strong and stolen. Living life on the edge, every day getting brave, making moves and rags. It's just that Harlem
smoking a new sport bag. I'm in the XK6 smoking a new sport jag on a jet. Chicks talking my dude called Zag. Okay, two smoking is my New York swag. Harlem cocky. I don't give a fuck. This ain't hockey. Look the Gretzky. Kick a little skater, won't test me. I keep my hoodie tight. Plus, rep my hoodie right. Boogie boy for life. Rest in peace, the boogie night. We had the block rep. Wasn't even high yet. Fresh pair of British to overlap the my neck. Spinning cream, more henny. Catch a flick on the deuce. Now the jeans are skinny. Polo boots is loose. So high, hate, I'm still in the Benz buggy. And it's 20 years later, I'm still doing the ducky. From the room, JD, stay la vie. Pop a hot, bet the Harlem to the END.
Only the shot callers, all players and ballers. Running the game with no shame, it was fun and scholars. Living life on the edge, every day getting brave. Making moves in the rag.
Flashy fly niggas, pull out a grand door. Plenty of your paper high, still we demand more. Too much is never enough, and that's a damn sure. Welcome to Harlem World, this is where we swag hard. You see that dip in my step, I be the man song. From 55th Bridge, on down to 10th Street. We keep it live on Linux like it was meant to be. I'm at the dice game, throwing head crap. All down's a bet, go ahead and bet a stack. And if you lose that, don't even stress a black. It's double up, my G, embedded all back. This is all love, it's for my hustlers. Harlem born and bred, this shit is in our blood. And it ain't a gimmick, we so real with it. 30 years in the game, this shit is so authentic.
Only the shot callers, old players and ballers. Running the game with no shame, it was fun and stolen. Living life on the edge, every day getting brave.
don't know the homie, bump it, I don't explain myself to suckers. Bloody up your vest, man, you running with the best. Suicide's in wet sand, it's muddy where I step. Yeah. But it's whatever, unbutton my shirt to show the S symbol. I'm H World to the death vigil, official. We don't stress little things, we got bigger visions. To take it all, no contest, split decision. Yeah. Stay focused on the goal, study this description. You dudes get to the target point, forget the mission. Catch a scar here, there, blood get to dripping. But still the show goes on through an intermission. Catch us rolling through the credits, dudes don't respect us. See, some of y'all get popped for being overzealous. So play your part like you're supposed to, but remember this. Improv when you gotta, but don't forget to script.
I'm definitely gonna be playing that a lot, yo. I ain't gonna lie. I'm definitely gonna be rocking that.
Actually, that's not even a finished product, man.
Word.
That's the early version. We went back in the lab a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, maybe a month or so ago. So Trav must have didn't have time to download that one, because on the new one, we actually harmonizing at the end, like we used to do.
Y'all got to send me that one so I could be playing that here, man.
Yeah.
What's up with the video?
Well, Trav was out looking at locations today. Of course, it's going to be shot in Harlem. Sean Bird, Uptown, 39th Street, 55th Street Bridge. We're going through Harlem, man. We're going to try to get this Harlem movement, back where it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Mace, Cameron, them dudes, they touched on the Harlem World Project in the 90s, in the early millennium. So what we're going to do, we're not trying to take over that aura, but we're just going to add on to it. Because if you want to be truthful about it, we started the Harlem movement years ago, mm-hmm. as far as the rap That's game true. Is concerned. We started that years ago, so we're just going to resurface and, try to be relevant. That's all.
We got another caller. I think they want to holler at y'all before I let y'all go, so I'm going to let them holler. Hello?
Hello.
Who is this?
Cigar Mark, Charlie Rock, Bartolino.
What's up?
What's good, Ray Vaughn?
Yo, what's good?
Ain't nothing. You still sucking your thumb rubbing Johnny Y ears?
Nah, man.
Yeah. Just to let you know, we go back, son.
Yeah, okay.
What's
okay.
up, Charlie? I want to give a quick shout-out to my man Sean Lambert. Adore you. China Man. And most of all, Tyrell Bradley.
Yo, hold up. Charlie.
What's up?
Can I get an old Cigar Mob story, being that I got you on the phone? What the deal, Charlie?
Yo, you know how we get to that, man. There's no more I can add to the situation. Rough and rugged. We brought the heat to the mall. At the time, it was just Baby Rock, Kokomo, Lil Nick, and the rest of the crew and shit. Me and motherfucking Sean and Nate Brown crossed the water and brought the heat to the situation. That's what made it the stick out mall. Everything we touch, we brought the heat to it. And Ray Vaughn to testify to that,
Mm-hmm.
I wish Wah was on the set. That's my dog right there. Mm-hmm. You got to watch with Wah around the girls, too. you don't want to get sloppy seconds behind that cat.
Maybe part three we get Johnny Wah back on here with us so we can talk a little more about it.
Yeah. Yo, what's going on, Ray Vaughn?
What's good, Rock? What's up?
Ain't nothing. Maintaining a decent composure, trying to stay up.
Okay, that's what it is. Then.
I'm glad you're doing your thing once again.
Yeah. Try to put it back where it's supposed to be.
Indeed. Love is love, I just wanted to holler and give a shout out to the fallen soldiers and shit, Let people know that they not forgotten and shit,
Okay, I appreciate the love, man.
That's what's up.
All right, one.
So Ray, you want to give a shout out or say something? If there's anything that we didn't touch on that you want to say before we go, before we let you go.
Well, basically, we touched on just about everything. I just want to give a shout out, to my family, for being strong, staying behind me all the years that I was away. My moms, may she rest in peace. My sisters, may they rest in peace. Like Charlie said, my little brother Ty, may he rest in peace. Basically, I just want to stay on track. Try to get this thing where it's supposed to be. I was given a second shot. Travis Jacobs, he had some faith in me. And he felt like, this is something that needs to be done. It took a little convincing, but he convinced me to get on board. So now that we're on board, We just gonna see how far the ride goes.
That's what's up. Now, Trav, you got anything you want to say before we get up out of here?
I got a lot. I've been patient.
Yeah, bro.
First, I want to say salute to all the pioneers, starting with Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wall, as far as Harlem's hip-hop history and hip-hop history, period, because we give a lot of credit to the Bronx, and we should, but Harlem deserve their props, too. So we starting it with Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wall.
Right.
Salute.
That's
Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wall. Second, I want to say everybody can contact us at Hip Hop's Unsung Heroes, Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wall, M7 Facebook page. Ray Vaughn Weaver, Travis Jacobs Facebook. And we doing the documentary. We got a show April 6th at the gallery for the honoring Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wall. Also, I think they honoring Macedon, the Deaf Committee, Pebbly Pool, etc.
We there, right? We in there, right?
Yeah, we gonna go there. Yo.
All right. Mm-hmm. And shout out that website one more time, yo.
Hip Hop's Unsung Heroes. See, a lot of people is unsung. Like, I saw Freddie Jackson at B.B. King's, and I was like, Freddie, you ain't really that unsung. You done went platinum and quadruple platinum. Like, how are you unsung? Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wall never even did a record. We could say they really unsung. Even the Fearless Four, even Grandmaster Flash, Houdini, everybody, they done records. Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wall, they got that street legend. Like, they been quadruple platinum, and they never even did one record. So they truly is hip hop's unsung heroes, Ray Vaughn and Johnny Wall, M7 at Facebook.
All right. Okay. So, fellas, man, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it,
thank
man. Ray, I really appreciate this. This is more like not just an interview, but I was a fan of yours growing up, so this was a privilege for me, Ray. I thank you for coming on the show, Dougs. Okay.
Thank you, Ray, for coming on the show, man. Anytime. Thank you so much, man.
All right, Russ, stay up, man. Stay up,
stay
bro.
Up, yo.
Okay. All right,
fellas. Peace, everybody.
All right. Good show, Russ. Good show.
Good show, man. What the deal? What the deal? That was an excellent show, man. Word up,
yeah,
B.
Man.
See,
but
now we got
do...
two opportunities to do things.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we got
right
two
now,
opportunities.
Right now, I want to play some up-and-coming guys that came behind Ray Vaughn and them. You know what I'm saying? I want to play my man, Real Saddam, right now. And we're going to come back, and me and you going to chat about this interview a little bit.
Okay. If we have some calls, can we listen to some callers?
Yeah, some callers come in. We can definitely listen to some callers.
Okay, cool. No problem.
All right?
All right.
So let's do that.
Show to follow, antidentally, artful dodges, crystal spilling, pocket full of dollars, wrist don't blink, you're fucking with a baller, falling, like Jim Jones up in Harlem, bottles of that rosé, the life of the party, let's toast to the moment, might not see tomorrow, VIP jumping, she can roll if she swallows, so much swag, popping tags at the mall, the homie so fresh, smoking good, living hard, G650, I'm soaring on them cuz, just touchdown the day, being empty in the mall, flight after flight, live the life of a boss, when she's down for the night, I'll be gone in the morn, champagne life, yeah, I'm something like the dawn, Louis 13, take a shot at the bar.
Getting money, wild bitches, yeah.
Don't start nothing, won't be nothing. She around us, trying
trying to be something. Velvet rope, red carpet events. Thugs turn the star through the car, need tint. Open the mouth wide, call a big shot villa. Started kissing on me like my name Jason Filler. Bartender rewind and shot to the killer. Hill up, will up, ATV that nigga. Hard work pays off, act made off. 30 bottles of rolls, let's have a spray off. My body a target, my aim is superb. Trying to bust off like a cheddar bob herd. This the life we live, so we DC. Just doing my numbers like a receipt.
How? Big Russ, what's the deal?
Mr. Everything Hayward? Good, man. Do the drop, man. Do the drop, man. What they listening to, man?
Beats.
How?
That's what's up.
What's the number? 1-877-288-6883. Or 1-914-338-1685.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
But that was I was what you felt about that, Russ, especially being that you definitely come from the neighborhood with a cigar mob and
you also got to remember, man, I was a shorty, B.
Yeah, because I was a shorty.
I've been over there, but I never been in Harlem World.
Wow, it's Conway.
I've never been in Harlem World.
For those of y'all out there listening, and y'all know about Harlem, Conway's on 116th Street in Lenox. That was Harlem World, the club Harlem World. I used to be, man, that was the beautifulest place. Like if you were a 15-year-old kid and to see the birth of hip hop, you know, that's like if somebody seen the birth of rock and roll, and that's to see the birth of hip hop, to go up in there and be a little dude and you know what I'm saying, to see everything that you see now. That's why I be trying to tell people Harlem history with hip-hop is deep, man. Like, I want to bring out the true facts. I needed somebody that was what I would call an expert, Russ.
Yeah.
I would call Ray Vaughn an expert because a lot of dudes see the Rough Riders. Oh, yo, they were the first dudes doing the bikes. Nah. You know, Wink was a little cat in our neighborhood on the east side, and he seen the Shaq Dust Crew, and he grew up under them and then end up riding with some of them type of dudes, and then he became to do his thing and got with the Rough Riders dudes, and they branched off and made the Rough Riders. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before there was Wink, there was Alpo rolling through Harlem, popping wheelies with no hands and riding up from 100th Street all the way up to 135th Street in Lincoln, doing the wheelie with the police chasing him, got everybody on the avenue cheering for him.
Yes.
It's like a race. You know, it was Johnny Wall, Ray Vaughn. And when I tell you, man, when they used to rock at this boat joint, Russ, now you know where the boat is at now. Now in Central Park, I think it's the little library or something they got on 110th Street right there. It's like a little lab. That used to be the boat thing. And you went back in the days, you used to go over there and pay like $2 or $3 and go and get on a boat and rowboat, a paddle boat. And
okay.
that was the attraction to that little area of Central Park back then. You used to ride the paddle boat and everybody used to be dancing and there used to be a club. That's what it was in the '70s. Then towards 77, it was a big fire there and it got burnt out, so it was empty. These dudes somehow found a way to find electricity through there. Set that joint up, and Russ, they had the whole world. Russ, when I tell you the whole world, the whole lake used to be surrounded with people coming to see them rock. Then they set up near the pool, and the whole world used to come to see them rock, Russ. It was, like, amazing, man. Like, when you look back at it now, when I'm, like, at the age I am now, they had, like, concerts. You know what I'm saying? They had like a concert in Central Park, but they didn't have no stage. You know, they wrapped a little yellow tape. You know how they used to do back then?
Yeah.
They wrapped a little caution tape around the flagpole, and then all you would see is a sea of people around them.
Right there on 110th Street, right around the lake.
Yeah,
people
right around
the
lake.
Trees,
yeah,
and everything
trees,
right around the lake.
The jogging thing, you know what I mean? With the jogging.
Like how John Lennon used to do their thing like that.
Yeah, yeah, like it was like a Woodstock, exactly. It was like a hip hop. That then, when they used to do their thing, that was like Woodstock. Word is born. That's the type of many kids, just to think about it, not to have a record out, not to even be getting no real promotion or anything, just off of word of mouth and some paper flyers that, you know, a flyer back then was you draw on a copy and you go to somebody whose mom's working there with a copy machine is that, you make a bunch of copies on paper. They wasn't pretty. They only got pretty if you had a dude that would draw it for you. But basically it told you the price. Prices were like $2, $3, and they would have people come from the Bronx all over, man. It was just amazing, man, to me. I think the documentary is a great idea. What you think about it?
I think it's an excellent idea. Very excellent idea.
What would you want to see?
Very, huh?
When you came into hip hop, like what age, what era? So you came into when Dougie Fresh did, your era, Russ, is probably when Dougie Fresh was doing the show in your prior.
I could say, like, my era is like, yeah, you're right. Right.
That's your era, Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh doing Lottie Dye. And that's still a classic, and that's still part of the hip hop thing, but it's not as far back as Johnny Vaughn, Ray Vaughn and them. That's almost like 10, 15 years after. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like 13 years or something after, like when Dougie Fresh did the famous Lottie Dottie, when Slick Rick came out when Biz Markie brought Big Daddy Kane out. That was like almost 15 years after Johnny Ron Ray Vaughn and them did their thing. And I would know that a lot of cats don't want them to hear their story because they set the trends a lot. And I want to express that. They set the trends.
And you heard what he said. He said, yo, that one famous night cost them. Everybody remember that night, but if let's say the history probably wouldn't have been made if he wasn't smoking a joint and he would have just went and rocked the mic.
Mm-hmm.
That history probably wouldn't have been made.
Yeah.
And we're going to get Dougie Fresh and somebody from the Crash Crew, Mike, somebody from the Crash Crew up here.
You're going
to
get Reggie Bass, right?
Some of them. We're going to get somebody between Mike, because I run into Mike every now and then, and another one of them I run into.
The crazy part about it is that I always run into my man Johnny Zip. I'm going to bring Johnny Zip on it because I want to tell Johnny Zip's story, because Johnny Zip was like a lot. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking nothing from Crazy Legs. Crazy Legs was the man. But Johnny Zip was the man when it came to breakdancing. And that needed to be put out there. The Floor Master Tots was the biggest breakdancing crew there was. When they, you know, but a lot of these crews, they went down because of they were selling drugs. It's the truth. The Rocksteady crew, you know, they were the kids that wasn't selling drugs. The Rough Dudes were selling drugs, you know what I'm saying? They was out there doing their thing. They had the bullies and all that. I tell you, boy, I remember. I'm sitting there, Maniac through the axe. Sitting there, I got British on, it's after Easter. All of a sudden you hear some bang in a tree. And let me tell you something, Russ. This is the funny part about it. How do a kid out the project could throw an axe into a tree from that distance that good would amaze me when I think about it. He ain't hit nobody. He didn't make an axe. He threw it right in a tree. It came right by us and hit the tree like ka-doom. Like if, you know, like if you've seen the people that do it in the circus or something.
Yeah.
They surrounded us. Cigar Mob, it was about, no lie, man, it was about 13, 15, 16 dudes, man, big dudes. They came and they was like, I remember it was me, my man Jackie and Alpo, and my man Ronald Jackson. And this was the young Alpo, the long legendary Alpo. And it's after Easter. You know, I got on, you know, Alpo got on the British Walkers. Remember they had the alligators on?
Yeah.
Had the British Walkers, the alligator. I got my burgundy high top Playboys on. My man Ron had the top 10 Adidas. Just came out. Now, Alpo got saved by Maniac. Yeah. But it was later. Maniac didn't really have juice to save him right then and there. He just got his stuff back for him. Your boy, me, that had the big, remember the big nickel bag in the yellow envelope?
Yeah.
Had one of those in my pocket that we all chipped in for, right? Why did I have to have it on me?
Sure, it wasn't a big tray bag?
Nah, it was a pillow nickel bag. A tray bag, okay. You pull something like 27 joints. The pillow nickel bag pulled 47 joints back then. Unlike these weed fellas now that give you a little blue pinch or something. That's why I don't smoke weed no more, you know? But
yes.
Because
yes,
I be watching what these dudes be selling, and it's like, oh, my God, you know? I couldn't do that. The nickel back then was like a half an ounce now, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Go on.
So anyway, so he's seen that. Nicky chopped my pal. You know, mind you, Nicky only about 4 feet, 3 feet, something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Nicky's a little guy, man.
With a lot of power, right? So he taps my pocket. He goes, yo, what you doing out here cutting school, man? You going to pay a lesson for cutting school now. Mind you, I'm paying a lesson for cutting school now. We getting robbed because he's cutting school. Because I know him. You know, we all know. Everybody knows somebody. So he said, yo, you got some weed? I said, yeah, man, but we all chipped in for it. He said, what you want to keep your shoes on? I said, yeah, I want to keep my shoes on. He said, come over here and roll up. And just, you know, so I went over there. I started rolling up, right? I passed it to him. I thought he was going to pass it to everybody else. He passed it back to me and said, don't pass it to nobody. I did exactly what he said. You had to imagine it been hard walking back with your homeboys and you got your shoes on and they don't got theirs on. They mad with you. And you smoked up the weed that.
But you had to.
But it was like one of those things. You know, one of those situations, Russ. We all been there. It's like, what could I do? Ain't I can do. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, these dudes, we little. These dudes is the big dudes. And they deep. They reputation. It's like, there's a million of them, you know? We only ran into, like, 15 of them. We lucky, you know? We lucky to ran into more. And I'm lucky that one of them, because let me tell you something. It was one of them that wanted to hurt us. They had to take him away, you know what I'm saying? I don't even remember who he is. Might have been your boy Mark or something. That was on him. They had to take him away. You know, and you know the old thing back then, dude was like, yo, what size you with? You know, they still pro cans off your feet back in the day.
Yeah, that's what they was robbing you for, pro cads, your
leaves, your name,
walkers, your mark necks.
Let me tell you something. If you had a silver chain, you was a man. God bless you had a gold chain.
This is back when if you had one of them official sheepskin coats,
you was a man. As a matter of fact, you was a man if you had the coat, the gloves, and the hat. You had the hat.
With the high-top pro kids, with the fat sneaker strings.
Sheepskins were so good, dudes was wearing sheepskin gloves with down coats. With leather coats, dude got sheepskin gloves and all that. Dudes said, I can't get the sheepskin, I get the gloves. If you couldn't get the gloves, you get the hat. You had something that was a sheepskin.
Yo, hold up a minute, man. You got to do something, man. Yo, y'all listening to Underground Showcase, and y'all with y'all host, Russ Haywood and my man Big Stu. The number is 1-877-288-6883. Or you could call us at 1-914-338-1685. All right, and it's Underground Showcase, and you know we just doing it up. Yeah. Do we got any callers by any chance, man?
Nah, we don't have no callers right now.
We don't got no callers by any chance?
Nah, not right now. But, you know, we got some people on the line, but they just don't want to call. They just want to listen, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's all right. I don't mind. You know, I don't mind people just
listening. It's all good. As long as they listening to us, man, I have no problem, man. I thought that guy, Arthur or something like that, he was supposed to call in tonight, but I see that he ain't calling tonight, so it's no problem. I guess he'll come up on next week's show.
Okay. So, you know, what's the store for next week on Drinks or Russ on Sunday?
Well, I'm going to have Nicolette, better known as Nikki Nasty.
Nikki Nasty.
She's the one that was down with LL Cool J on Baby. And she's from Harlem.
She's still down with LL Cool J, right?
Yeah, she's still signed to LL Records. And she's going to be doing it up on our show this Sunday. We're going to be playing some of her cuts. Then I'm going to have, I'm not going with no drinks this week. I'm going to drink all the goddamn drinks this week. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to drink all the drinks, and I'm going to have a professional come in this week and give out some drinks. She may give out some liquor recipes. She may give out some health food. She's from Jolicova.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? And her name is Ebony, Miss Ebony.
Miss Ebony.
And shout out to them over at the Juice Bar. They're going to be coming in and mixing up the drinks this week.
Let them know that you drink healthy drinks too, Russ.
That's right. I drink healthy drinks. That's right. I don't always drink liquor. Sometimes I drink healthy drinks, and that's who's coming on the show this week. My lady, Miss Ebony. She'll be on there from Jolicova. She's coming in with the health food drinks. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The peach pana and everything like that, and the cyber green, and she's going to tell you about strawberries for your skin and what kiwi do for you and what seaweed and juice tonics. And I don't have the article right in front of me. The article is right there in my bag. I'm just too lazy to get it.
Okay.
And that's about it, man. Word. We're going to have some fun this Sunday on Drinks on Russ, hosted by me, Russ Haywood.
Well, you know what, player? What I want to do right now, right, I want to go into your man.
Who, my man?
Flo.
Flo? All right, man, hit my man Flo off. Yo, this is an up-and-coming artist right here, Flo, representing Stink and Lincoln once again all day, day. Harlem, that's what we do. And shout out to my man off.
I still bring it to you. I present something you can vibe to.
Still one of the top, but will he ever know? Cause I'm going on the haters to be better off. I see the big picture, I'm a better cause. I know I'm getting mine, but are you getting yours? I know what you people want, and I got this. You can hate me if you want, but I got this. You see the blame that's in my watch? In my hometown, they know. Flow get ultrasonic, especially when I'm blowing chronic. Martini with the eyelids, shorty over there keep batting up her eyelids. I guess she don't know I'm the one that get the job dead, or the one that ride with it loaded in the cartridge. Buy her and all her friends something to start with. Come over by me, I said with the calmness. My crowd do the sipping, bottled up the calmness. Slick as gel in the YSLs, only time to tell. My place is checking the hotel. As I predicted, we both got twisted. CCS poop, the steering wheel's a sick shit. Still want him to stop, but will he ever? Nah, cause I'll be gone, all the haters will be better off. I see the big picture, I'm a better cause. I know I'm getting mine, but are you getting yours? I know what you people want, and I got this. You can hate me if you want, but I got this. You see the bling that's in my watch? In my hometown, they know. Another round, more bottles, a level lounge. Fashion plays in, send the chickens to the ground. I know how to move, I get it from my culture. Your girl next to me on point, like a sculpture. For the poachers, keep wearing firm. And I die for anything I believe or deserve. You ain't hurt? Yeah, the kid got a swerve. Pulled up on a curb in the old 10th swerve. It's always my way of being. Get the dope Korean. More money, more shine for a fan reason. No threats for as long as I'm here. Get the mill. Make it spread like smear. Still want him to stop, but will he ever? Nah, cause I'll be gone, all the haters will be better off. I see the big picture, I'm a better cause. I know I'm getting mine, but are you getting yours? I know what you people want, and I got this. You can hate me if you want, but I got this. You see the bling that's in my watch? In my hometown, they know. Throwing Dilly Hente, flow excelente. A mixed breed G, got it written on my friend name. It's just like what a Harlem dude do. Get it done and don't care what they say about you. Wrist so chubby, all the ladies wanna love me. Getting this money, make the watches wanna money. Mad drive, I got the 3-5 snuggy. Sell it in puppies with my Peruvian bunny. Houston or Sellers, get some that shove me. Get the whole world funny. That'd be great. Beat is in my chest, nothing with an 8. 12, 16, 32, 48. Still want him to stop, but will he ever? Nah, cause I'll be gone, all the haters will be better off. I see the big picture, I'm a better cause. I know I'm getting mine, but are you getting yours? I know what you people want, and I got this. You can hate me if you want, but I got this. You see the bling that's in my watch?
Got this.
Hey, what's up?
What's good, Russ?
What's going on? What's good, man? How you doing, man?
Chilling, man. You know, your new mic sounds all right.
That's good, man. It sounds excellent.
It sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me, too, man. That was my man Flo from right there from Harlem, man, once again doing it up. Dude. You know, Harlem, we stayed doing it all day. Word.
Flo definitely did everything with that.
Yeah, he did. He did. He did. He did. He's a nice little Dominican flow riding kid, B. You gotta give his props to.
Now,
what's up with you, man?
Man, I'm just happy, man. You know, we're expanding over here at Beast Through Radio. We got a couple of new shows coming up. We're doing some things, man. And it's good. I'm just excited, man. Tomorrow night, man, though, it's gonna be a good show. You know, K Nicole do her thing every Friday night. She got her show. Her the topic is one night stands. Are they good or bad? So, what you think about that?
One night stand, everybody been through a one night stand. Mm-hmm. Was you drunk? Was you sober when you had the one night stand? Personally, I hope you were sober where you don't remember the one night stand because you don't want to remember the one night stand.
Maybe you should call in tomorrow night and let Kate and Cole know your opinion on that.
Man, I don't have no more one night stands.
Yeah, I mean, then that's good.
My one night stands is over with.
They
are
too,
over with. Word, my one night stand is over with, and I might get bunged with a black frying pan if I call in, man. But I'm gonna give her a shout out anyway. Shout out to K Nicole.
All right.
Wow, K Nicole, doing it. She doing it on Fridays.
No doubt, ladies' night. Make sure y'all tune in tomorrow night, 11 p.m. She's definitely going to be asking that question. One night stands, are they good or are they bad? So maybe her homegirl Kalima will call in with her two cents. So that's her partner in crime. You know what I'm saying? She come in with the raw ghetto version of the situation, but it usually makes sense. Okay, you know what I'm saying? But anyway. Anyway, we're going to... Anyway, we're going to get into some more music.
But we play a bitch, too.
What I want to do, I got so many people here to play tonight. You know, I'm going to try to get everybody a little love, man. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to play some Sesky Page by Team Envy. I like this joint right
now. And y'all listening to the Underground Showcase show on Bitch Through Radio.
Harlem Hip Hop and the version Harlem Hip Hop, the history of Harlem Hip Hop Part 2. Make sure y'all check that out. Make sure y'all check out part one and two. Me and Russ are going to be doing all the Harlem histories of hip-hop, the history of Harlem hip-hop. They're going to be going down. Today was the history of Harlem hip-hop part two, the Johnny Wire, Ray Vaughn, and M7 story. Make sure y'all keep that in mind. So we're going to get into Sescapades by Team Envy. Let's do it, Russ.
Let's do it.
Shorty, this the part where we both misbehave. No sex for days, she feeding for the all. So I made a leg shake from my sexcapade. Baby, let your head down, work clothes on. Shorty, this the part where we both misbehave. No sex for days, she feeding for the all. So I made a leg shake from my sexcapade. I told her, let her head down, work clothes on. Shorty, this the part where we both misbehave. No sex for days, she feeding for the all. So I made a leg shake from my sexcapade.
Now she never been in this position till she met me. Uncontrollable twitching, recovering from the D. Her body went numb, her soul with the ecstasy. She was meeting a legend while we created a legacy. No hoes, bars, repelling in the air. She ain't never performed tricks off a chandelier. History book sex, making it so special. I just dive all in it, breaking Guinness World Records. Suffocate me with it, don't allow me to breathe. I am an expert when it comes to deep sea. Long stroke, back stroke, tongue stroke, tease. She ain't know that her body could do moves like these. We breaking all rules, missionary for losers. Mommy, I can promise I'ma teach you something new. You gon' be speaking in tongues and exhausted for days. Regular aftershock from my sexcapade.
I told her let her head down, work clothes on. Shorty, this the part where we both misbehave. No sex for days, she feeding for the all. So I made a leg shake from my sexcapade. Baby, let your head down.
Come on, baby. Make a motion, take your. Now, I've been eyeing you since days. Work week got you stressing. You're my superwoman, so now we super sexing. You're my lethal weapon. I love the way you move. Erase all the stress. It's only us in this room. Now turn around, baby, and shake it while you strip. I put my face in it like an HD flick. Yeah, girl, I'm nasty. How freaky can you get? Now let them cheeks jiggle while you do the backflip. Them up and down kisses, circle licks on the clit. You dripping like nectarines. I'm trying to reach the pit. I'm drinking your juices, gently flicking your tears. You reaching your peak. I love how you scream and kick. But no running, baby. Sit down on the stick and watch me grind, poke, and gyrate the shit. I started out slow, gotta end all fast. Face down, ass up, now it's my turn to blast.
Yeah.
What's up, what's up?
What's up, man? Yeah, that was Team Envy with Sescapades. You're listening to Beef Stew Radio, the Underground Showcase, History of Harlem Hip Hop, Part 2. It was the Ray Vaughn, Johnny Watt, M7 story. If you didn't hear it, you just missed a great interview. Real talk, straight up, no BS. You know, that's why I like interviews like that, Russ. No that's BS.
Right. That's right. No BS whatsoever. It was straight talk. Straight.
Yeah.
Word. I got to give my shout-out, man, to Tim Williams, man. I see him commenting on Facebook and everything.
Move closer to the right, Mike.
Move closer to the mic. Okay, cool.
Go.
I got to give my shout-out to my man, Tim Williams. You understand what I'm saying? Down in North Carolina and everything. And I see him commenting on Facebook and everything. Mob for Life. And that's definitely it. Mm-hmm. And I guess soon, I guess next week, we'll get Johnny to call in and get his version.
Oh, if we can't get Johnny, man, I would love to try to get Reggie Rez from the Crash Crew, you know, to get their version of what happened. Because see now, you know, let's hear how they feel about it. Cause they was actually credited for being the first song. You know, so let's see what they feel about it. You know what I mean?
True.
For being the first rapper. Because, you know, let's just hear it, you know. But, I mean, I ain't going to lie. The Crash Crew, Mike and Dave, they was big, too. I mean, like, all these groups was big. But local. Johnny, now, some had different levels. Some bigger than the others. You know what I'm saying? But they was big.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. You're definitely right. And we need to get some of these people on the phone to answer up to some of this stuff because it's all history. And I'm learning as all this history being dropped on me.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't know this guy was in this movie on HBO.
No, he's in a few movies on HBO, man. Quite a few.
He's right there from
110th Street. Right here from 110th Street, you know what I mean? Right around the corner from the studio.
Word, I did not know that he was on that, and that was good. That was some knowledge to learn.
Now, for all of y'all that don't know, Russ, you're moving around too much. Russ got a new microphone, and
I'm fixing it, and that's what I'm doing, too. I'm over here playing with it, trying to get it, and to keep on turning, but I'm going to leave it alone.
See, one thing that you got to realize here at Beef Stew Radio, man, we are a family radio station, man. We're a family radio station. We are definitely a team, and we roll like a team. We do everything like a team here, you know what I mean? We got love for everybody that got love for us, you know what I mean?
We just out here
trying to expose, you know, I mean, you know, expose younger rappers, trying to get the story of, you know, anybody that got a story, we just trying to tell it, whether it's a good story, whether it's a sad story. You know, some people may figure it's a bad story, but we believe in freedom of speech here, and we also believe in togetherness here. So that's what's up. You know, my man Dean Garner tell you to say what's up. I'm not. Yo, he hit me on the email. He said, tell Russ, man, don't be scared, man. Tell him I said, what's up, bro?
Yo, what I said, give me 2 weeks, right? My 2 weeks ain't up.
So he wanted to know if he could call you.
You can tell Dean I said, what's up, man.
Yeah, but he said he wanted to call you.
But tell Dean I said, what's up. He was a very nice man.
Yeah, he's definitely a nice man. You couldn't see yourself hanging out with that dude, man, for maybe about 3 hours?
Nah.
That'd be a survival 3 hours, right?
Yeah, it would be. That'd be a survival 3 hours. But then again, over here in the U.S., you take them to the zoo, go to the Bronx Zoo. Nobody do nothing. We out in the open and everything, so we can hang out there.
Dog, he messing with the government. It could happen in public, you know.
But the thing that gets me, he was going overseas. Wow. He may get in a car, and the car may blow up.
Yep.
And he was guarding people overseas doing this.
Yep.
That's a crazy job. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to do that. Then he was a Green Beret. You jump in his face, he's going to break you down.
Yep.
He's going to break you down.
Yeah, man. Well, you know what, Russ? Let's play a little bit of one more song, man, and then we can get up out of here, man.
All right, but let the people know what they're listening to, man.
Listening to Beef Stew Radio. You're listening to the Underground Showcase, the history of Harlem Hip Hop Part 2 with your man Drinks on Russ and your man DJ Big Stew on the Wheels of Steel. This is how we do it. I'm going to play
That's
forever. And this is forever. ESB
Productions.
Forever, forever,
ever,
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 ever, Sean Dre on the track.
From John Lookover. They're going to be here with the organic fruits of life and all the juices and the ice cream and everything. And, you know, we're going to have the vegetarian juice bar going on, the vegetarian burgers, the vegetarian ice cream. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to have my girl in the house, Nicki Minaj. Nicolette, my fault, Nicki Minaj. Nicolette, I apologize. I apologize. You heard what I said, B. Nicolette. I'm having my girl Nicolette in there, known as Nicki Minaj. You know, she was down with LL. She's on LL label. She was on his song, Baby. She going to be in the house. She going to spin some of her tunes. And we're going to have fun Sunday night, man. What's up with you, Stu? What you doing?
I'm going to be on the Wheels of Steel tomorrow night with K. Nicole doing our thing on Ladies' Night. Like I said, tomorrow night's topic, y'all, is one-night stands. Are they good or are they bad? Make sure y'all tune in. Y'all call in 877-288.
Man, I put my vote in.
6883.
Okay, say it again, Stu. My bad.
Make sure y'all call in tomorrow night, 877-288-6883, or call 914-338-1685 if you're having a hard time getting through. Yeah.
There you go. I'm going to put my vote in right now, Stu.
And what's your vote?
I can't have one night stands.
All right. That's your vote, or that's just something you can't do. Sound more like, it don't sound like a vote. It sound like I was told I can't have them or something.
Yeah, I was told I can't have them, man. And I want to give a shout out to you, man, for having a great show. Thanks for having me on once again.
Oh, man, you're a great, you know, I think we got a good combination. You're a great co-host, man. I appreciate
you. Yeah, man. Thank you very much, man. Who are we going to have on next week's show?
I don't know yet, but they're giving us the sign that we got to say goodnight, man. So you know what I want to do? I want to say goodnight, Russ. Going to say goodnight?
Goodnight. Beast Houston.